Friends, today is August 25th, 2019. If you don't know, that means that today, August 25th, is our birthday. On this day, 147 years ago, the First Presbyterian Church was founded. And so to celebrate our birthday today, we have a glorious picnic with a giant barbecue grill. And like any good birthday party, we should sing. So join me as we sing, "Happy Birthday to Us, Happy Birthday to Us, Happy Birthday, First Presbyterian Church, Happy Birthday to Us."
Happy birthday to us, happy birthday to us, happy birthday Church, happy birthday to us.
And you gotta have a piece of cake. Everybody make a wish and blow on three. One, two, three. Congratulations. I won't eat that cake in front of you. We'll take it out to the picnic. It is a great day to celebrate together. Because 147 years ago, the Reverend Sheldon Jackson gathered together a group of people on the banks of the Poudre River at what is now the North College Avenue Bridge. There were 13 people that gathered on that first Sunday, 9 women and 4 men. Actually, there were originally 9 men, but 5 of them were at the grill getting ready for the picnic afterwards. So there were 13 gathered that day. Wouldn't it be wonderful to go back in time and to meet them and ask, what do you imagine might be the witness of this community 147 years from now? Could they even imagine that this community would be the fruit of their labor? That this would be the harvest of the seeds they had planted? This beautiful place, this joyful and faithful community. And as we celebrate, we not only celebrate the past, of course, but we celebrate where God is continuing to call us, perhaps for another 147 years. And so our theme this month on Neighborhood Church concludes today with the final chapter from Robin Crin's book, which is entitled appropriately, Sustaining the Vision. That is, how do we take the baton that's been handed to us and prepare it and pass it on to the next generation? And so as we reflect on this theme this morning, we turn once again to Scripture. And today we turn to Paul's writing in the book of 1 Timothy, Paul's letter to Timothy, giving him guidance about his own life of faith and faithful living. So listen to God's word to us as it comes to us today from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6. Through 16. Paul writing says, "If you put these instructions before the brothers and sisters, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with profane myths and old wives' tales. Train yourself in godliness. For while physical training is of some value, godliness is valuable in every way, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, for to this end we toil and struggle, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. These are the things you must insist on and teach. Let no one despise your youth, but set the believers an example in speech and conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I arrive, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhorting, which is encouraging, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you through prophecy with the laying on of hands by the council of elders. Put these things into practice. Devote yourselves to them so that all may see your progress. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Continue in these things, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and your hearers. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord. For you alone are our rock and our redeemer. And let all God's people say, amen. Amen. One of you this last week posted a quote on social media that comes from a young woman named Hannah Brencher. She's an author and speaker. And in the quote, she describes the journey of life as one who is carrying a bag with them. Some, she says, pack light. Others of us are like hoarders who keep every scrap of every experience and encounter and thing that we have come across in the path of our life. She says, the task of growing up, I think, is that from time to time we sit down and we unpack all the things from our bag. And then we decide what from among those things we might be able to set aside and leave behind. And what things we should pick up and put back in. The things that are important to us, that will sustain us. That idea about sustaining the vision, sustaining our faith and faithfulness, is what Rob and Kryn are trying to get at in this final chapter of their book, Neighborhood Church. And appropriately, I think it's what Paul's trying to get at in these lessons, this guidance that he provides for his young mentee, his protege, Timothy, in the scripture that we read a few moments ago. There's a lot of wonderful gems in this passage, in these 11 verses, but for me, I sift out into a couple of important highlights, the bullet points, if you will. First, Paul is telling Timothy about the kinds of things that, as Hannah says, he needs to take out of his bag or leave behind. Did you notice that he said to him, "Do not let anyone despise your youth," which is to say, whatever labels or limitations others have placed on you, do not pay any attention to them. Set them aside. And then he says to Timothy that you should not neglect the gift that has been given to you. That is, sometimes in the life of faith, in Christian community, we talk appropriately about pride. That is, not thinking too highly of oneself. But just as important, sometimes even more important, we should talk about thinking too little of ourselves. After all, we are beloved children of God. We, each of us, every day have been created in promise and with a purpose for sharing God's love with one another on this earth. So Paul is telling Timothy, set those things aside. Set aside myths and old wives' tales, he says. Set aside any way of believing or being that holds you back or limits you from being all that God has intended you to be. Take some stuff out of your bag. And then secondly, Paul tells Timothy to invest in his own spiritual life, to read scripture, to be encouraged, to be a part of a community where there is teaching, to set an example, to follow an example, to invest in his spiritual life, in worship, in fellowship, in discipleship. And then the third thing that Paul tells Timothy to do is to recognize that it's not just about him and his own personal life, but it's always about community. As we say here often, while our faith is personal, it is never private. It is always best nurtured in and practiced in a community of faith called church. And so too, Paul tells Timothy to set an example for others, to be a part of passing that baton on to the next generation, whether another 47 or 147 years of faithful witness. This morning, I want to reflect on two examples, one global and one local, about how we see this call to sustain the vision playing out in our world. Some of you know that this summer, a group of seven of us traveled to the Dominican Republic to visit with a longtime mission partner called Plant with Purpose. In the back of your bulletin this morning on pages 10 and 11, you'll see a picture of our group. You'll find quotes from some of the participants. You'll see some pictures about some of the kinds of opportunities that we had. What I was particularly impressed by as we traveled with the staff and other leaders who are helping to nurture this ministry called Plant with Purpose is the ways in which they fulfill this very idea that Paul talks about this morning in helping to sustain the vision. First, they're helping people in poor rural villages set aside the things that might hold them back, the labels that have been given to them. After all, some might say, these people are too poor to save money and to accumulate wealth that could lead them to a life of independence and flourishing. After all, people might say, these people are too uneducated to understand the sophisticated nuances of sustainable agriculture and environmental restoration that can lead to the long-term health and viability of the land upon which they live. Staff at Plant with Purpose does not believe that. They are either too poor or uneducated, and in fact, believes that they are children of God, given all of the opportunity, the intelligence, the imagination to be who God has called them to be. And so they're able to work with them on helping to understand how to change the ways that they have believed and lived on this land. As they have often stripped the land for firewood for cooking or for grazing for cattle, they've learned that a more sustainable and restorative way of reforesting the land, of planting crops that will help not just their generation, but the next. They have lived into a new way of being together. They have learned that if they set aside a few pesos every week, that those pesos begin to multiply. And as they do that, not alone, but together in community, what they bring together is greater than the sum of the parts. We had the opportunity to sit in community centers and hear the testimonies of those that have participated in the program. Many of them who stood up and talked about the way their life used to be and how they've set aside that lifestyle for what they now are able to embrace. One man said, I used to spend the little money I had on alcohol and playing the lottery, and now I realize the power of what it means to save, the power of what that enables me to do, not only for myself, but for my family. My children are able to go to school. I've gone back to college. My home has improved. And so setting aside old ways and embracing the new, and all of this happens in the context of an environment in which ministry helps to nurture and enhance the spiritual life of these communities. We saw people engaged in Bible study and worship together, a group of teenagers sitting around underneath a tree, reading scripture, and a young woman asking questions of them to help them tease out meaning from the text that she had just read. And not only setting aside the ways that they used to be to embrace something new, not only investing in nurturing their faith in Jesus Christ, but also learning what it means to pass that on to the next generation. In a village that this church has supported for many years, Loma Verde, the adults have discovered such spectacular success in the ministry in which they participated that now they're teaching their children how to do it. And so the children are gathering to be a part of savings groups. They're learning at a tender age how to live a lifestyle that will make for a more prosperous and joyful and independent, sustainable life for them, and I suspect for their children too. All in all, it was a wonderful opportunity to affirm that this is a wonderful mission partnership for us, to affirm that this is a partnership we want to and will continue, to see how this idea of sustaining the vision and the faith of Christian community plays out in a place far away, very different from our own. And as we partner with and support that work, we know that God calls us to that work here in this local place as well. And so we recognize that after 147 years, after 105 years on this particular plot of land, in this sanctuary that was built by faithful members some 50 years ago, that we still have opportunities to learn and grow, to think ahead about where God might be calling us in future decades. One of the ways that church leaders have been evaluating that is considering that this place, this campus, can have a unique role to fill in the city of Fort Collins, partly because of where we're located geographically, partly because of the wonderful resource that we've been given to steward, partly because of who we are as church and the vibrant and joyful and faithful way that we participate in this life together. And we recognize that there are some things that probably are not particularly helpful to get us into the next 50 or 100 or 150 years too. Just on the west side of our campus is an education building that was built in 1959. It's been a wonderful building in which a lot of great faithful work has been done, and we recognize that it is unlikely to be a space that will be helpful for us to live into the vision of where God is calling us in the next generation. I could give you a long laundry list of reasons why. Having been built 60 years ago, it doesn't meet any of the codes that have been written in the last 60 years. And yet, we're still able to use it faithfully and effectively, but there are a number of reasons why that particular space is probably not going to get us where we're called to be, to do the ministry and the mission and outreach that we could be doing in the next years. And so, many of you got a letter from me in July talking about a process that church leaders have engaged in. We've hired a local architecture firm called VFLA to walk with us in an exploratory time to help us dream and imagine about how this space might be better configured and used for ministry and outreach. And they and other local partners are thrilled to see a local church that wants to grow not just for itself, as important as our spiritual community is, but with an intentionality to have an outward focus, to serve as best we can the community, the neighborhood around us. And so as we've been engaged in that exploration process this past month, we have two opportunities in September for all of us to participate in. You'll find a little blurb about it on page 7 in your bulletin. It describes an all-church congregational forum on Sunday night, September 8th, right here in the sanctuary from 6 to 7:30. We'll learn some of the ideas that we've been dreaming up together, but not so fleshed out that we don't have an opportunity for all of us to give feedback, to ask questions, to make suggestions about what it might look like for us in the future to occupy this campus, to serve through this campus. We'll have a second forum on Tuesday night, September 17th. That'll be for anybody who missed the first one or just wants to go to two. And it'll have an intentional focus to invite a lot of our neighborhood partners, business and city leaders, university and nonprofit leaders to come and to be a part of the conversation together. How can we best be Christ's light and love for future generations? How can we best sustain and nurture the vision of who God has called us to be? And as you might imagine, these kinds of conversations and decisions and the work that follows are challenging. And we will face a number of challenges in this next chapter of our life together. It'll be a time to fasten our seatbelts, to hold on, and to remember that the only way we do this is together with one another. Presbyterian pastor and author Stanley Ott wrote a book a few years ago called The Joy of Discipling. And in Dr. Ott's book, he says that discipleship really boils down to this idea of withness. That is, being with one another in this journey of faith. He recounts all the times in Scripture when the divine or a messenger of the divine said, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you." And he says so much of what we're called to do and be is about doing it with one another. He recounts the story of being in a counseling session with a member of his church. The problems that this man was facing were so complex that eventually Dr. Ott said, "Bob, I got to tell you, I'm not going to have all the answers for you today. But what I do have is a heart for you. And my heart will walk with and beside your heart and wherever this journey takes us and whatever God has in store. Discipleship, Stanley Ott says, is ultimately about heart with heart, friend with friend, learning together to love Jesus Christ and to love one another. And so as we think together about sustaining the vision, I know that there will be moments in our life together that we'll be called to set certain things aside, old ways of being and doing, in order for us to embrace where God is calling us next. I know that in order to sustain that journey together, we will need to double down on these experiences of worship together, fellowship together, learning together, being and knowing one another. And I know that we will have the opportunity to take the baton that's been handed on to us by generation after generation of faithful women and men in this community and to consider how we will hand it on to the next generation. Even better and more joyful and more vibrant than we have received. Because we are called to be, as we will sing in just a few moments, the Church of Christ in every age. Beset by change, but Spirit-led. Because we must claim and test our heritage, and as the lyricist says, keep on rising from the dead. Keep on embracing the transformation that the Spirit brings to us for new and renewed life together. So that when we gather on these celebratory occasions and sing to one another, happy birthday to us, we might also hear the Spirit in the background sing, and many more. Amen.